What is up, basketball fans? Welcome to a live NBA outlet. I'm your host, Nick Fan. We got a full party today. Regular, obviously, Corey Waldron, Jack Manuel, and special guests, Jay Christian, popping his live NBA show, Cherry, today.
Gentlemen, pleasure to be with you on this fine. Hey, what's up, boys?
And so we have the Brooklyn Buzz, the NBA outlet, and Full Access Hoops all on the same pod. We got three pods in one base. Oh, he's wrapping the merch. I got some merch. You got some merch. Jay, come on, get some merch.
Jay, we need
to... I'm trying to win some of these OTG contests so I can win a shirt. So.
We need to get it for the whole family. I need the kids in it, everybody, all right? But, guys, obviously, 6 p.m. happened. Doesn't matter to the NBA because free agents have been signing already for the last 3 days, whatever it is. Big news, let's start right from the top. Big boy KD and Kyrie to the Brooklyn Nets. Jack and I just talked about this for an hour. So, Corey and Jay, we want to hear your thoughts first.
Jay, you can go ahead and hit this one first.
Yeah, wow. I mean, on the one hand, this is the rumor that's been around, I think, almost since the NBA season started. On the other hand, especially for my Brooklyn Nets fans, to actually see it go down is exciting. I think we talk about all the time, and Brooklyn Buzz definitely talks about this all the time, that the Nets have put the infrastructure in place to be attractive for a free agent, for a big-time free agent. They have the team. They have the front office. They have the facilities. They play in a very desirable place in Brooklyn, New York. And it was just a matter of time before they started landing top flight free agents. And now they got two of the best ones off the board immediately.
Yeah, I mean, these were the two guys tied together from the All-Star break. I remember the video of them talking in the tunnel, and Kyrie was like, two. So, like, now I'm just in my mind. Well, they were talking about Brooklyn, right? This was the place for the two of them to play at. Now you have... I mean, you're set up for the next handful of years. You still have all this depth, which is what blows my mind. In fact, there's still Caris LeVert. There's still Jared Allen. There's still Spencer Dinwiddie. Like, and you're bringing DeAndre Jordan, Garrett Temple, as well as these two stars. I mean, this is just a 9-deep roster at this point in time. Joe Harris probably gets traded. Sorry, Jack. Cry later. but, you know, Kyrie and Durant are going to be in Brooklyn. Like, New York basketball matters again.
And it's not the other team. It's the Nets. It's not the Knicks. It's the Nets that matter. We got KD. We got Kyrie. You mentioned Caris LeVert, Jared Allen, Spencer Dinwiddie. Got Rodion Skrouts. You got Taurean Prince. There's names down the list. You bring in DeAndre. And like Jay talked about, the infrastructure. Sean Marks and his staff and the coaching staff changing the image and the perception of the Nets over this last couple of years. Easy to forget. He took over in February of 2016. And now the way the Nets are viewed from that point, they were viewed as the worst team in the league, the worst franchise in the league, laughingstock, no future. Now moving forward, this is viewed as one of the best franchises, one of the best teams in the league, long as KD can get to the 80% level of his health.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be the case with the question. You know, I'm always going to be the skeptic among us. You know, we talked about on the Buzz just a couple of minutes ago that, you know, Henry Abbott of True Hoop was sort of tweeting out, you know, yes, the superstar power is there, but is the chemistry and performance? Of course not. You can't forecast that. There's so many unforeseen circumstances that can happen in this wild and crazy league. And there's so much. I didn't expect the Brooklyn Nets in the space of 3 years to become a bona fide contender and a bona fide market that teams and superstars would be drawn to. But here we are, and we're talking about it. It's a reality. Like Jay sort of said, they set the infrastructure in place. They made it attractive to the free agents. And now that all that is done, now Sean Marks is done, the onus is going to be on Coach Kenny and the players to get the wins on the board. But I guess we should tackle some of these other ones because my brain is almost going to explode with the amount of news happening. It's an information and sensory overload. I don't know how Woj and Shams are still alive and their Twitter fingers are still going.
I think we should talk about the teams that didn't land Kevin Durant that it valued a lot to them, being the Knicks and Golden State. You know, we talked about the Clippers not really mattering, but what do you think the impact is on Golden State now and the Knicks?
So two things, right? So one, I think, and this is something that we bang the drum on all the time on Full Access, and Corey listens to me bang the drum on it. infrastructure, right? We talk about small market, big market. One of the big reasons why Toronto still has a shot at re-signing Kawhi and how they got him for a year to win a championship this season is for the infrastructure, the front office in place. Same thing with Oklahoma City. You get a guy like Paul George, born and raised in Southern California, decides to go to Oklahoma City or stay in Oklahoma City rather than go to the Lakers, that's in large part to the front office there. The Knicks, I mean, mecca of basketball, everyone always says that, but the Knicks are still, I think, poorly run, poorly managed franchise. And until that changes, and I don't know if that's the sale of the team or getting some smart people around James Dolan, more realistically, it's probably the latter than the former. But until that happens, no major free agent's going to sign with New York. If they want to be in New York, they will go to the Brooklyn Nets. I think as far as the Golden State Warriors are concerned, I just got into Game of Thrones this year. So I take it as, you know, the Night King or the Night Walker, whoever came through, has sort of decimated the Warriors. And now they look, even though it's a 73-win team from a few years ago, now they look vulnerable, if you can believe that, for the Golden State Warriors. I think teams have started to figure them out from a defensive schematic standpoint. I think with KD off the board for the Warriors, I think this makes them as touchable as they've been in three seasons.
Yeah, I think on the Warriors front, I mean, especially this upcoming season now, I mean, you already weren't going to have Durant, regardless if he stayed or not. Klay likely not back till end of March, early April. You were going to have this Curry, Draymond focus, eccentric focus team. And then what was it going to look like in the future? Well, now that we know Durant's gone and Thompson coming back, I think you're right, Jay. Like, the Warriors being scary, I think, to the same degree as they were, I don't think that happens again. Like, if this is what they run with for the next, let's say, two, three years with the Curry, Klay, Draymond, big three, I don't think it scares teams the same way as it once did. I think they still have to have some sort of new nucleus in there if they're going to be that same dominant force. Because I think that just chapter of their dynasty run is over.
And Klay hasn't re-signed yet. That's one thing that's a bit, right. I mean, it's not that, it seems to me that it's going to be fait accompli, but there were murmurings around the LA teams. But, you know, the fact that to me, you know, when it comes to sort of the deals coming out, I expect the re-signings to be the ones we see before the guys moving to new destinations. But yeah, the Golden State Warriors, their dynasty is over, at least this iteration of it. I still think that they're going to be competitive. And in this open and the parity that we now see in the NBA, I still think that they're going to be an amazing contender. And the Knicks, like you guys have sort of said, I still think that they've got the infrastructure, not with the ownership group and not with James Dolan, but within the front office. I like Scott Perry. I like Scott Mills. I like what they're doing. If they don't make any dumb moves this offseason and give like big money to Julius Randle and DeMarcus Cousins, then I think they'll be okay. They just need to hit that sort of salary cap floor, do this, keep that space open. The free agency pool isn't going to be amazing next year, but, you know, there's always going to be disgruntled superstars. And, you know, people are going to want to play in New York. Yes, like Jay said, they're not going to want to play, you know, under a guy like James Dolan. But I don't think ownership matters as much to the lesser superstars as it does to the bona fide superstars. So we'll wait and see how it all plays out. But, you know, KD to BK, you know, make it happen, baby.
Yeah. I just want to say real quick, the Knicks – I mean, there's just a layer of delusion that just stays with them. And I just want to say, like, and it's not even like I don't necessarily hate their situation right now. Like, Mitchell Robinson, RJ Barrett coming in, Kevin Knox, there's still, like, some hope there. But to think that, like, a star or, like, multiple stars were going to want to go there where you're, like, 2-3 years away from actually competing for a title still, it's just kind of mind-blowing when you have a team like Brooklyn that had everything in place.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of tap on both points from you, Corey, Jay, and Jack, is that, like, the Knicks are – they have the right pieces there. They're just in the beginning of the process. Like, you couldn't expect to come in and be like, hey, you know, we just got new front office. They had a really good year. They did some good moves 1 year. We've seen 1 year work. But, hey, I'm going to get KD and Kyrie and all these big names to come and play with a whole bunch of rookies and second-year players that haven't really done anything. And as good as some of the Knicks players have been in terms of the young guys – none of that has contributed to winning basketball. They just had one of the worst seasons in franchise history. So I didn't think it was ever really that realistic, unless KD just was, you know, glamorized by the fact it's the New York Knicks. It's that franchise. And obviously it had some impact on him, but it didn't matter at the end of the day. He chose the fit that he personally wanted to do. And Jack and I talked about this for a long time. It's about what KD wants. He wanted to play with his friends. He wanted to play with one of the best medical teams, a great organization that will take care of you and your family. I love the decision, obviously, from a personal perspective, but I also like it from an NBA perspective because, obviously, I listen to Flex's Hoops. I know Jay goes on his rants. You see one of these front offices that has done the right things and kind of build up the culture, and now they're rewarded by getting two of the best players in the NBA.
It's although the margins are really thin, though, right? I know we're going to talk about the Clippers, but think about what was going on in both places, right? So you have New York, the New York Knicks, who are, you know, a franchise, a blue blood franchise in the NBA, despite the last, 25 years of Knicks basketball, it's still the Knicks, right? In Los Angeles, it's still the Lakers. Somehow the Lakers, you know, if you listen to some people, LA was becoming a Clippers town, right? Of course, we obviously believe that it'll always be a Lakers town, but there was momentum from Lob City up until Ballmer taking over the team, Doc Rivers in the year they had up until, you know, this past season. But somehow the Lakers still managed to fall ass backwards into LeBron James and sure. Anthony Davis and maybe get another max slot fill today. I mean, we can check our Twitter feeds and at any moment, you know, Kawhi could say he wants to go to the Lakers. And that would solidify the Lakers as the team of LA, right? I think the margins are so thin because let's say KD said, no, if I'm going to play, I got to play at the Garden. That's where you play when you play ball in New York. He gets Kyrie to come to New York. And then what are we saying about the Brooklyn Nets, right? Maybe what we could be saying about the Clippers if they strike out on using their max space on some of the top free agents. So it's just so funny that the narratives, how they could change. Now, you know, New York has probably become Brooklyn's for the foreseeable future. And how close to that was the Clippers? Or how close are they to that now? That if they, you know, potentially strike out on free agents, you know, Kyrie's off the board, KD's off the board, and let's say they don't get Kawhi, then what does their future look like going forward?
Yeah, perception can change in one offseason, and Jack and I talked about this a lot in the buzz, is how these two moves, Kyrie and KD, is going to change the Nets' future, because when you get these big fish to come and you possibly have the success moving forward, people are going to view your franchise differently. So obviously it's a lot. Like Jack said, we talked about KD for a good minute. Who do you guys want to tackle next?
Can we go to the Kings? Because the Kings just made all their entire offseason moves just now. They're done now.
Do it up.
Oh, yeah.
So the Sacramento Kings have signed Harrison Barnes to 4 years, $88 million. They've signed Trevor Ariza to 2 years, $25 million. Ooh. And they've signed Dwayne Dedmon for 3 years, $41
million. I guess I'll go first. Harrison Barnes contract, not a big fan. Just don't think Harrison Barnes is a $20 million type of player. Trevor Ariza, what, about $12.5 million a year? Not terrible deal. Dwayne Dedmon, what was the number on the Dwayne Dedmon deal?
$41 million over 3 years.
God damn, did not expect him to make that type of money. I thought like 3 for 30 would be nice for Dedmon. I think like this will help them take a next step in terms of maybe being a playoff team, but this isn't like long-term big picture. You just locked up a lot of money to a lot of players that Dedmon's not going to get better. Trevor Ariza's not going to get better. Maybe Harrison Barnes gets better, but not a huge fan of these moves. I don't think it's terrible, but I don't think they're moving into being a contender. They're moving into being an 8th or 6th seed in the West.
Man, we spoke about these sort of deals in relation to 2016 and how those sort of mid-teen sort of deals of like 10 to $16 million and how those tied up a lot of franchises. Yes, the Ariza deal is only 2 years. The Harrison Barnes deal, I hate, it's a slight overpay. But the Dwayne Dedmon deal for 3 years as well. Obviously, we're not seeing these four-year deals like we saw with Luol Deng, you know, Bismack Biyombo, Timofey Mozgov. But that's still, you know, a 3 years is a long time in the NBA, and so much can change at the drop of a hat. So I don't like any of these deals. I like the players that they got, and that they've now got at least a semblance of a possible playoff team. But they're also going to have to pay De'Aaron Fox soon enough as well. They're going to have to pay Buddy Hield soon enough as well. And you're going to have all this money tied up, and you're not going to be able to get any sort of – what is your ceiling with the Sacramento Kings team? Dwayne Dedmon is a good starting center. Harrison Barnes is a good starting small power forward. Trevor Ariza is a good backup small and power forward. You're not paying backups, you know, $12.5 million a season, but Kang's going to Kang's.
And that's it. I think a lot of you, and we talked about this in the last show, is windows. And now you had a really good window because you had some of these players in De'Aaron Fox. Buddy Hield, I don't think, is on a rookie contract anymore. But some of these guys on these short contracts or these low numbers, and that's when you bring the stars, then you go over the luxury tax afterwards. Now you just capped yourself out with a team that's not a contender. Like, as good as some of these players can be, none of them are going to be superstars. Like, I like a lot of the guys on the Kings roster, and I think some of them maybe have potential to be an all-star, but no one on that team's like superstar. De'Aaron Fox is the one guy that I'm like, okay, he could maybe be a top five point guard.
Right. And he may work his way out of Sacramento before it's all said and done, just because that's how it works in the NBA, right? He'll get good and get tired of losing in Northern California and look to go elsewhere. I mean, you heard it here first, right? I mean,
so my thoughts on this, these signings, I don't hate it. I agree with everything you guys said about money-wise and the fact that some of these deals are just a little bit 2016-ish. But they do fill the holes that this team had. I mean, Dwayne Dedman is the center they were looking for, a little bit of an overpay. Harrison Barnes, you're bringing him back for the core. Ariza, like, you can bring him in now and then trade him in December or trade him in January. Like, 2 years, $25 million for Ariza isn't bad. Some contender will probably want that at the deadline, which then could help you get an asset. And maybe even Dwayne Dedman to a degree. It's still, what, $13.5 million for Dwayne Dedman? I mean, definitely an overpay, but maybe movable if a team gets desperate at the deadline. But I think this, you're right. I think it was you, Nick, who said it puts them in the 6-8 seed range, which, what is the point of that? But it also, you have these vets around this young core, and then maybe when these vets are on their way out the door, then you have this young core ready to really emerge as the guys. Then you sign, you know, role players to help them. I don't necessarily hate it.
I think the issue with that, though, is now you're having to pay all these young guys, and now you don't have money to bring anybody else in. So then you're locked into whatever the team. I agree. I think Trevor Ariza, out of all those contracts, is the best one. 2 years, not that long. You can easily trade him. Harrison Barnes, you guys know I'm not a big Harrison Barnes guy.
You've made it evident. You've made it clear.
Like, hey, I'll still think about the 2016 finals against the Cavs. Like, if that guy plays okay, well, a lot of things are different in the NBA. And I think Dwayne Dedman, as much as I like his skill set and what he does, he can shoot the three, can protect the rim a little bit, he can rebound, he has good size. Like, 3 years, $41 million. Like, bro, just spend the extra money and just go get Al Horford and, like, not sign one of the other guys. Like, I would have rather probably overpaid Al Horford and not sign Harrison Barnes and Dwayne Dedman.
Yeah, and I mean – should we go to a similar sort of team that is paying these sort of mid-level deals, a lesser sort of established team in the Orlando Magic? They've been making a couple of deals themselves.
Yeah, they've been interesting moves. You got them, Jack?
Yeah, I got him, homie. Free agent Al-Farouq Aminu has agreed to a 3-year, $29 million deal with the Orlando Magic. League sources tell ESPN a player option on the third year. Free agent Terrence Ross has agreed to a 4-year, $54 million deal to return to the Orlando Magic. We haven't heard anything about Vooch just yet, but those two deals, my dudes, what are we thinking?
Wait, why are you signing Aminu? Like, you have Jonathan Isaac and Aaron. Like,
oh, my God.
And you have, and you just signed Terrence Ross to play whatever. He plays shooting guard / small forward. But, like, Aminu at this age is a power forward. There's no minutes for him on that team unless you're moving Aaron Gordon or Jonathan Isaac, which Jonathan Isaac looked really good. Aaron Gordon looked really good in the playoffs, too. What?
Especially, that's a weird signing. And that's a lot of money for Terrence. Like, I'm a big Terrence Ross guy.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money for Terrence Ross.
Oh, go ahead.
I just want to say, like, it's, you're running it back plus Aminu. Like, that's the plan.
Then John Hammond has a type. Like, in terms of, like, if he's put on, like, some dating profile on OKCupid, he's just, like, 7'3" guys with wingspan. And, like, just power forwards with wingspan and guys that can't necessarily shoot that well. I don't understand it. It makes no sense in terms of they were close last season. I really respected what they had with, you know, the season that they had under coach Steve Clifford. But now you expect the front office to give you all the tools available to make you a contender, to make you just a competitive team. But John Hammond isn't doing his job. Steve Clifford is. He's making the most of what the pieces he has available. And they've obviously, like we spoke about, you guys spoke about in the outlet as well, there's still Mo Bamba there as well, another young big who has promise. It just doesn't make any sense what these teams, these mid-level teams, it's just like the clock keeps rolling, the same thing keeps happening, the pendulum keeps swinging. You know, there's only so many teams. Until you make these drastic changes, you look at the New Orleans Pelicans, you look at the Brooklyn Nets, you look at possibly the Minnesota Timberwolves, what they're going to be doing in free agency. The Magic and the Kings, I just can't, they're so far in the recesses of my memory. It just makes no sense. It makes no sense.
Yeah, and I wonder if you know, the synergy of, and I think you made a great point, Jack, with Steve Clifford. Like, he is doing the best he can with the roster he has. I wonder sometimes if these teams, do you have a philosophy? Do you have an identity, right? How do you want to play, right? I mean, you make the joke about, you know, having these bigs stretch forwards, just guys with long wingspan, right? Like, having a type. But what is your organizational identity in terms of the players you want, right? Do these guys fit that mold? Are these the kind of guys that fit into the system you're trying to run? And if not, then can we get them on the cheap? Can we get assets for them? You know, what's the plan? I think, and Corey and I talk about this all the time, sort of signing guys just to sign them, right? Sort of winning the press conference where you can sign. And, you know, Terrence Ross was a high commodity in the trade market last year and would have been highly sought after, I think. But I don't know if he would have gotten $54 million in the open market. But you raise an interesting point. Places like, you know, Sacramento and Orlando, what are you trying to do? What is the organizational philosophy for your team? Yep. You know, and if it doesn't fit it, we were talking about this today. Don't, you know, the cap space is not going to rot. You don't have to use it if you're not happy, if you don't have a defined plan forward. And I think, again, that harkens back to the Brooklyn Nets, who clearly had a plan, you know, dating back to 2015, 2016. You know, if players don't fit that mold, then I think sort of have the courage to move on and say, you know, too rich for our blood. We'll go searching, we'll scour to get the players we want and implement our system. But just kind of signing guys to sign them, I don't know if I think that's a little penny wise and pound foolish.
Yeah, and that's how you put yourself in a bad position. The next thing you know, you're a mediocre team for the next 4 years because you got this guy locked up. And like, I get it, you really like Aminu. Okay, move Jonathan Isaac or Aaron Gordon because you want to get value for them instead of just wasting talent and lowering their value. Like, I just think overall, like, you guys nailed that on the head. Like, have an idea of what you're trying to do. Roster fit is incredibly important. Mm-hmm. You can't have a roster that has five guys of the same skill set. It's not going to work, and they all play the same position. Guys, there's only 48 minutes. Like, what are we going to do here? Right. So it's like, hey, Orlando, you want to make mistakes? Now I think teams are going to start calling and ask for Aaron Gordon or start calling for Jonathan Isaac or something because they're not going to want the other guys. And Terrence Ross on that front, Corey and I talked about it. Like, Corey likes him a lot more than I do. I mean, I don't mind him. I think he's, like, good as a six man. But, like, locking up money up to a guy like that who played a couple years in Toronto, the first couple years went really well, and at the end of his tenure in Toronto, things were not great, and then he ended up on Orlando. Like, I'm not feeling confident about giving a guy like that 10-plus mil a year.
Yeah, I mean, he's lucky to have – I mean, he came off a career year, obviously led the league with three-pointers off the bench, which helped his case. I just want to say, too, like, was Aminu going to be off the board within the first hour of free agency for anybody else?
I think if you're one of these teams, though, like a really small market team that's, like, not really attractive, you have to go – if you have a guy that you want to go get, you, like, will try to get him because, like, teams like, let's say, the Clippers, the Knicks, or whatever teams have cap space, or the Lakers – are going to be held up with their money. So if you can kind of squeeze in and try to get some of these guys, you can. I'm not saying I like the Aminu signing, but I think that's just the mindset for a smaller team. Of like, that's why Derrick Rose signed with the Pistons like really fast. Like, I'm not trying to disrespect Derrick Rose, but like, who cares about Derrick Rose signing that quickly?
Yes! Yes, Ricky Rubio, let's go to Phoenix!
Oh.
Yes! Yes!
Oh. Phoenix. Phoenix! Live react, homies! Corey, take the shirt off. Come on. Take it off. Take it off.
Who's going to Phoenix? Wait, what?
Ricky Rubio is going to Phoenix and not the Pacers, so Corey can now survive and live.
Oh.
I was actually feeling really bad. It got to the point where I mentioned it to my fiance. I was like, damn, I feel bad for Corey because his team's going to sign a shitty player.
He did it.
Sometimes
it's the point guard for.
You know what that means, though? D'Lo also has one less suitor on the market.
I was literally saying this, I'm pretty sure, on JBT yesterday with Nick Buzik, that I'm like, it doesn't make sense to me that the Indiana Pacers are out of the running for D'Angelo Russell.
Sorry, not to cut you off. We just lost Bogdanović.
To Utah?
$73 million 4 years.
Whoa!
Utah.
That's a lot of money. That's
do they have the money?
They're is Derek Favors going to be
if they're signing him?
I mean,
good for them. What,
should we go to the Ricky Rubio signing first and then we get to the Bogdanović?
Sure. Of course.
I mean,
get a solo act for 5 minutes on Rubio.
No, just go, mate. Just go. You do you.
I mean, it makes sense for Phoenix. Didn't make any sense for the Pacers. Signing a guy who can't shoot but play solid defense didn't make sense. It makes sense in Phoenix. They've been looking for a point guard who can run the offense. Ricky Rubio is that. It's still a young team. Very little expectations. 3 years, $51 million. It's good money for Ricky Rubio. Can't really shoot the three. I like the fact that he is a defensive-minded guard alongside Devin Booker. That could help.
I'm going to interrupt you real quick because this will make you happy. The Pacers agreed to a deal with Malcolm Brogdon.
Yes!
Oh!
Yes!
He's a restricted free agent, so I'm assuming it's probably an offer sheet unless they renounce his rights, but that's big news for you.
Damn.
Is he reported it?
It was either Woj or Shams.
I saw it from Shams.
Yeah.
This live react stuff, man, boy oh boy, we're getting
yes. We need some smoke screen, baby.
Can we create like GIFs out of Koi's reactions from this? Let's get some YouTubes.
Oh, wait, we traded for him.
Oh really?
We traded a first round, a second round pick, future pick for him.
Damn, you got the hand on the back of the head like, shit, is this the right
Jeremy?
I'm like, wait a minute, do I like this now?
You hit on 15. You're like, I don't know.
Jeremy Lamb, Corey, Jeremy Lamb as well, my dude.
Really?
3 years, $31.5 million.
That's not bad for Jeremy.
Hey, wait, real time. That really was like when your man hits the game-winning shot and then the benchwarmer guy played. You're like, really? I saw you had some good picks too. Yeah, you were good too in the game. Jack's like Jeremy Lamb. Corey's like, ah.
It's not bad.
Yeah, I'd rather play Jeremy Lamb than Terrence Ross.
Yeah. I'd rather have Malcolm Brogdon and Jeremy Lamb than Ricky Rubio to anybody.
I think that's a fair statement.
I think that losing Bogdanovich is going to hurt a lot, but I think the Victor Oladipo, however healthy he is, I know, Corey, you probably know more than any other, how healthy he is going to determine a lot. But there's a semblance of a playoff team even without Victor Oladipo there, especially with Malcolm Brogdon. Obviously, the money that's going to be on the board is going to be an interesting one because he's been highly sought after. But
the number when you're ready.
Go. Jump in.
4 years, $85 million for Malcolm Brogdon.
Don't hack that.
Holy shit.
That's the same deal essentially as Aaron Gordon. And if you're saying right now who's a better player, I mean, Malcolm Brogdon's done it on a bigger stage. I think he was probably, you know, he's done it in the playoffs. And I mean, it's hard to just judge purely at the playoffs. He's in a more valuable position. He's not a pure point guard. Which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing because I think Victor Oladipo is going to have the ball in his hands a lot, as we all know and have seen. But I think Indiana is doing the right things. So I don't know how much better this makes him. I think Corey could probably, you know, probably attest to that and probably say more than the man giving you a bit more analysis. But, you know, replacing Darren Collison with Malcolm Brogdon, upgrade. Replacing Bojan Bogdanovic with Jeremy Lamb, downgrade, but you're not going to pay him that money anyway. But you know, we should probably just like Corey just speak for 15 minutes and see what else pops up in the meantime.
Am I up?
Yeah, you're up.
All right.
It's not ready.
This is a good day. This is because you know when Kevin Pritchard said we were going for big name guys, and the only name I heard was Ricky Rubio, and we traded for T.J. Warren. There was a lot of doubt.
And you've roasted him for a week, by the way. It should be said.
I have roasted him.
And I think it's important to include T.J. Warren in all this because that's like okay, we lose Bogdanovich, but we bring in another good forward in T.J. Warren, who kind of like makes up for some of that. Now we have two pieces.
Yeah.
And overall, I think Corey will get to this. Oladipo's health is the biggest factor in all the Pacers.
Yeah, I mean, so you lose Bogdanovich. The three-point shooting loss in him is going to hurt, but you are replacing him with Warren and Lamb. That's like a combination replacement. You're losing Thad, but you're hoping Sabonis takes over that power forward role. I'm still not sure what that looks like, but there's a replacement for Thad and Sabonis getting more minutes. And then Brogdon, it's an upgrade from Collison. He can play defense. He can shoot the three. He's 26 years old, relatively young. You're not losing much defense from last year to this year, but you're gaining three-point shooting, which is what they lacked. And it's just great that it's not Ricky Rubio. That's such a relief. I'm really excited with the floor spacing the Pacers have now set up. They went aggressive. Kevin Pritchard, thank you for not letting me down.
And Jeremy Lamb can score on his own. Like he doesn't need someone to create for him. He can play make for himself. And I thought that was a really big issue for the Pacers last year when Oladipo went down. It was like who else can really create for themselves on this roster without a screen? So, hey, I think it's a really good move. And maybe Malcolm Brogdon's a touch more than you want to pay him, but Corey and I talk about this all the time. Smaller markets usually got to pay a couple extra million. That's why I was advocating hard body for them to just max out D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah.
So guys are coming off the board. We'll get to this, but I was of the impression if the Lakers couldn't get Kawhi, they should go the team building route. But some of these team building pieces are coming off the board. So do they freak out and sign Melo to a $60 million deal, or what is
Please.
Jack, I stole your thunder there. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I was just thinking about that as these names come down off the board.
No, I think that's a really good point, and maybe we should start like hitting some of those names. Should we give Dylan Jackson, say some prayers for him with Terry Rozier signing a 3-year, $58 million deal for the Charlotte Hornets?
Okay, timing's everything, right? Do you think Terry Rozier was worth that a year ago?
No, I've been not a Terry Rozier fan for a while, and like Corey knows, I've advocated because he's so inconsistent, home and away type player. And like there was a time where people were like, oh, Terry Rozier is better than D'Angelo Russell when D'Angelo Russell was injured. And I was like, chill. Terry Rozier is playing with a lot of other good players, and he's not doing anything that crazy. And that Cavs team that a lot of people look back in the playoffs, like that playoff run was an outlier because all those teams really sucked that year. Like Boston ended up in the Eastern Conference Finals without their two best players. Arguably two of their three best players, whatever it was. The Cavs won the East with LeBron and no one else.
Right.
Like, that was just a weird year. So I think Terry Rozier could be a good six-man type player. I wouldn't want him to be my starting point guard.
So let's just say this. Terry Rozier will make $19 million a year. Brogdon will make $21 million a year.
100% rather play Brogdon.
Oh, without a doubt.
Extra year, though. I mean,
yeah,
it's relative, but you do make a fair point. I still see that these numbers are a little bit inflated. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been plenty of pieces and plenty of talk around the 2016 free agency. You know, we're going to 3 years, 2 or 3 years down in the future, and we're looking at some of these deals. It's like, man, why do we give Ricky Rubio 3 years, $50 million? Or why do we give 3 years, $58 million to Terry Rozier? You know, it's a saying that goes around plenty. Ownership is the greatest competitive advantage in the NBA, and the front offices are probably a close second. But a guy that's probably still open for the Los Angeles Lakers, and it's probably going to be a bit of a target if they strike out on Kawhi, is going to be D'Angelo Russell.
Yes.
I think that it almost seems like now that the Phoenix Suns are off the board, D'Angelo Russell he's only two suitors seem to be the Lakers and the Minnesota Timberwolves.
100%. Sorry to cut you off, Jay. I just want to throw this out there. With signing D'Angelo Russell, since they have $32 million in cap space, they don't necessarily have to sign D'Lo to the max. They could have room to sign another player, which I think would be crucial for them.
Right. I was just going to say that sort of deep point guard, because I think we're going into the free agency, point guards and centers were the two positions I think had the most most available free agent targets. But if you look at the point guard big board, I mean – Collison retired out of nowhere. Rozier's off the board. D'Lo's giving strong signals to Minnesota. Where do the Lakers go for a point guard? I mean, they can't run it back with Rondo. You cannot, right?
And Collison retiring hurts too. So I think that was a nice safety net point guard on the market with Darren Collison.
Right.
They're talking to Seth Curry. I think that would be a really good fit because you don't need him to actually run point because you have LeBron.
Look at Corey's face. Sorry.
I mean, you got to look at options. I mean, if you're looking on the board, Pat Bev would probably be my number one option for
that.
Me
and Jay had a conversation today about Seth Curry, where it's like one of those guys where like you look at the numbers and you're like, yeah, this guy's a good shooter. But then like you look at the minutes he plays, and he never plays over 20 minutes. He's like a 19, 18 minute per game guy, and I just wonder what that looks like in a bigger role and what money that looks like if the Lakers do look at him.
I think you could get him cheap, and I think like some of his minutes, like the previous season, not last year, the year before that, he was coming off a major injury, so they kind of worked him back slowly in Portland. But by the time Portland was deeper in the playoffs, he was getting a good chunk of their third guard minutes.
Should we hit on some other names? I mean, the one that we sort of chatted about before we jumped on was JJ Redick to the Pelicans, 2 years, $26.5 million.
I like that signing. Go ahead, Corey.
I was going to say it also rules out Al Horford. Kind of trying to figure out where Al Horford going. That takes the Pelicans out of play for Horford.
Does. I think getting that money as well, I think that probably was of some importance to him. And, you know, I think from the Philadelphia side, who is going to shoot threes for them? literally no one. No one that can shoot threes on that roster now. Landry Shamet? Oh, yeah, that guy is in Los Angeles. Man, I feel for the Philadelphia 76ers. You hate to see it, but Brooklyn's doing okay.
And I was one of those people that I think that when everything went down during the trade deadline between New Orleans and the Lakers that I think the league was just gassing up New Orleans to be dicks to the Lakers because, you know, I always do this hashtag, you know, LOL Lakers, right? Just let's laugh at them, point at them. Screw the Lakers. Don't help them out. But New Orleans has really backed into a really great position and setting up their future for the next couple of years. They have a generational talent. They have a super smart guy running their basketball operations. And this team could actually be really good in pretty short order. I mean, I like the Redick signing. I like Zion as a player and as a prospect. I like the haul they got from the Lakers in terms of talent that has NBA minutes, but still, you know, very young. Assuming Brandon Ingram's health, all checks out going forward. So as petty and as just sort of whiny as the Pelicans fans were all during last season, they actually backed into a really great situation, I think.
Yeah, I think J.J. Redick's a perfect fit. You know, our biggest criticism of the roster so far in terms of the draft picks was they have no shooting. Now they add one of the best shooters in the league. He's also a good veteran to help you develop some of these younger guys, and I think that's important to have around, especially when you're trying to build a proper culture. Like you said, I mean, I'm not thinking they're going to compete for a playoff seed this year, but moving forward, they'll be pretty close.
Should we talk Kimba to Boston? Oh, go ahead, Jack. No, I'm sorry.
No, there's so too much to talk about. I think Kimba to Boston seems a likely one that we haven't even touched on yet.
Yeah, so we've talked about this one. I mean, we'll preface every statement that we say that we probably talk about at some point today because it's free agency day. So I will quit saying that. I'm sorry, that's the bad habit I got going. But we did talk about this today with Kimba going to Boston. And Corey and I kind of got into it a little bit because Corey was saying, you know, if you're losing Kyrie anyway, you could do a lot worse than Kimba Walker. And I tend to agree, obviously, but I also thought that Boston had a lot. I thought the problem with Boston the last couple of years, or last year specifically, was not so much Kyrie just being sort of a weird dude who thinks the earth might be flat, who knows, but more that Gordon Hayward was stealing minutes from Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And that problem will not be fixed by Kemba Walker joining the Celtics. So I thought, depending on what the expectations were for the Celtics this year, that's how well Brad Stevens will coach. I still think of him as a college coach, which is why he can do really well, in my opinion, with younger guys, guys that are not quite superstars yet, you know, low expectations, and then we go above our ceiling, right, versus having a bunch of superstars, a bunch of prima donnas, and learning how to manage those personalities. So I think Kimba helps, but I think the problem wasn't just Kyrie in that locker room, and I'm not sure if adding him to the equation, you know, where do we think the Celtics will be next year? Are they top three in the East? Are they top five? What are those expectations? Where do we, you know, sort of project them at? And that'll give us a clue to, I think, what kind of year they could have.
I'll go first. I think that go ahead, Jack.
He won't bother you. Say, I think 6 o'clock moratorium. Screw that.
I think that they're top four. Okay. And I think, you know, you expect improvement out of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. You know, addition by subtraction with the Kyrie Irving sort of thing. Kemba Walker, I think, I challenged over to yesterday with Nick. I think that you look to Isaiah Thomas as sort of an example of what could sort of happen with a sort of small guard in Brad Stevens' system and a willing small guard. And I think Kemba Walker is that. What they're going to do at center is going to be something. Right now, it's Daniel Tyson, the Time Lord. So they need to get some center. You know, we've spoken about guys like Dwayne Dedman are off the board. You know, Al Horford's still there. They could do something still. Nikola Vucevic still hasn't signed. DeMarcus Cousins, you know, Julius Randle's still on the board. And then there's all these, you know, Robin Lopez and those sort of other guys that still need to sign too. I think the Celtics are probably still around that sort of top four range. But, you know, Danny Ainge, I can't remember who it was that tweeted it out. You know, the rebuild for them was to try and get those superstars, and getting all the Nets assets and the Cleveland assets was to get the superstars, Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard, and they got Kemba Walker. That's what they were left out of it. Kemba Walker, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown. Meanwhile, some other teams out there have got Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. I don't know who those teams are, but they're pretty good.
Yeah, I think Kemba, obviously, you know, he's not the same player Kyrie is. He's probably the next level down. He's probably close to top five. I think they could be a top five team, but I think, like, we can't undersell the value that Al Horford brought to the Boston Celtics. Like, he's a really crucial player when it comes to winning basketball. And right now, they don't have a starting center on the roster. And they want to make it a sign and trade with Brooklyn and Charlotte getting, you know, the trade exception so they could bring in a better center. But right now, it doesn't really benefit either of those teams unless they're getting some type of draft asset. So all of a sudden, Danny Ainge has all these picks, and Jack and I talked about this a little bit, have all these picks and everything, and they had this window where they could have had Kawhi, they could have had AD, they could have had all these players, and now they're settling just to be a pretty good team in the East, maybe a contender to win the East, but most likely not. Like, if things go, like, let's say Toronto, Kawhi goes back to Toronto, Milwaukee has pretty much most of their core back, Philadelphia is able to retain Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris, they're not top three, and I think the Nets are right there with them at top four, even with KD being out, because we talk about Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum taking a jump. There's plenty of young players in the Nets can take a jump, and Kyrie Irving is still better than Kemba Walker.
Yep.
More names? So should we just
drop them? Drop them like
The Thomas Bryant went
to the Pacers, guys.
Who? Oh.
Malcolm Brogdon went to the Pacers.
Yeah, well, you know, this team, the Brooklyn Nets, signed Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, so I don't want to hear about it.
A small markets, you know?
Speaking of small markets, Thomas Bryant re-signs with the Washington Wizards, 3 years, $25 million.
Ugh, the Wizards. I don't – who's signing these people? There's no one in the office. Like, says who? Like, who's making these calls? No one has a security pass into the building. There's no GM. Like, who's doing this?
Don't. John Wall.
Is John Wall the GM? Is this what's happening?
I mean, that's a pay for something if he's out for – yeah.
3 years, $25 million, though, isn't bad for Thomas Bryant. Not with the stretches he's shown so far. I think he's, what, 22, 23? He's still a younger player. I don't hate that for Washington. You kind of have to pick and choose. Like, maybe even if he isn't your long-term solution, maybe you can ship him out when you have to get rid of maybe John Wall or if you try to. You know, I don't know what their situation is. Like you just mentioned, they don't have anyone running the ship.
No, no one there. Sorry, I got email address.
Before, but like when they were at that podium, when they were introducing Roy, Rue, Homer, whatever.
And Rui Hachimura, like, you bum.
Hachimura, sorry, come on. And he goes, he's like, you can shoot threes. He's like, wait, you can shoot threes, right? And it's just like, really? Like, you're asking them now?
And like, you could scout these guys for like a year. Like, he's literally been playing college basketball for a year. Like, did you not watch one of his games? Like, I could tell you if he could shoot threes by pulling up his basketball reference. Like, what?
I have a route we can go. Briefly, the Houston Rockets have made two small moves, which is the running back mentality. Gerald Green and Daniel House are both returning to Houston.
Talk about Daniel Flash. Just kidding.
Okay, I'll go there first.
Yeah, you go.
So, sorry, I saw Draymond was trending. I don't know if he cussed out Katie or not. Okay. Just a dick pic on Instagram. Yeah, I was in the chat, right?
Draymond's going to be posting stuff eating a cupcake later tonight.
Probably.
Don't mind it. I mean, there's not a lot to say about those moves for Houston. Gerald Green, I think he's good in spots, obviously. I mean, there's not a lot of, I think, breakdown there. Like I said, those are two smallish moves. But to a larger point, I think Houston, that, you know, was kind of a bit of a firestorm about a week or so ago, and they looked up and they said, you know what? Golden State's not coming back next year. Maybe we should all just chill out for a season and see what happens. So I think if no big move happens, I think Houston is probably – I hate to use the word settle, but settling into the fact that our team was pretty freaking good the last couple seasons. Maybe we try it with this roster one more time. And I could see a scenario with these two moves being indicative of Houston probably just standing pat if they can't make the big splash that Morey sort of randomly promised. He kind of went Elon Musk and said we'll be on the moon next year or something. I don't know. It was a weird thing at the awards show. I was like, no one. Okay, that was strange. But assuming that big splash doesn't happen, I think Houston's probably content just to bring those guys back. Maybe some more activity. I could see him be more active at the trade deadline this year. But I think they kind of looked up, you know, it's kind of lower the flies. They were going at it, and then they looked up, and they're like, oh, yeah, this team's actually pretty good. So we'll see how that goes. Although I was telling Corey that I think the Game of Zones episode where Jimmy Butler joins the Rockets would probably win an Emmy. So I'm rooting for that from that perspective. But, yeah, I think this is just indicative of the kind of moves Houston will probably make this offseason.
They really don't have a lot of options. The biggest thing on the table for them is the Jimmy Butler sign-in trade, and they'd have to get him in greens from Philadelphia for that to most likely happen. So it's just like Houston really is just cap-strapped. Like, there's only so many things you can do when you have money locked up to, you know, you have your three big guys.
And Chris Paul, right.
Yeah, Chris Paul and Clint Capella. Like, after that, I mean, you still have a pretty good team, and I think they have a chance. But, like, part of them has to feel like, you know, we just missed out. We had a chance to win – and win the West, KD got injured and we couldn't capitalize. Like, I could see some negative vibe from them feeling like they need to add a bigger piece.
Although I will say this, if you needed a player to go walk into an office and make them sign and trade you, would you want anybody other than Jimmy Butler? Like, you need someone to go deliver that message.
Like, at Philly, like, yo, I'm gonna host my meetings in Miami. I want to play with the Heat. Like, So
there seems to be on Twitter right now a little bit of a debate sort of happening around the fact that with the Jazz signing Mike Conley in that trade and acquiring Bojan Bogdanovic, a little bit of an overpay, which Woj reported once Nikola Mirotic was off the radar, obviously heading back to Barcelona. Good for him, by the way, like getting that bag and living in Spain, sipping his sangria. Good for Nikola Mirotic. But we sort of spoke about the Houston Rockets. I think it's why it sort of relates for me to the Utah Jazz. Who would you take out of those teams as like the favorite or a greater contender in the Western Conference?
Between the Jazz and the Rockets?
Yeah.
We got to see the Jazz play, but I mean, on paper, you'd probably say the Jazz are a little bit more talented across the board. Obviously, James Harden is the best player of the group, but you got Mike Conley, you got Donovan Mitchell, I think, due for a jump. Like, he's due for a jump, and now you're surrounding him with his best offensive supporting cast he's ever had, where usually the last two seasons it's been Donovan Mitchell show, and he's doing everything. Then you have Rudy Gobert, who Bogdanovic is an improved defender, but now he has a little bit more protection behind him, something he's used to with Miles Turner when he was Indiana. So I really like what the Jazz are doing. Maybe they need a little bit more depth on the bench. I'm not sure who's going to play power forward unless they just go small ball and have Ingles play power forward, but that's the only thing I'm wondering about.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I'm rolling with Utah, and I think, like, I mean, if they play that weird-ass defense against the Rockets like they did last year, the result will be the same. But I think now that you, like you mentioned, Nick, they have all these offensive weapons. I mean, this isn't just Donovan Mitchell now that you have to worry about scoring. Mike Conley is a viable threat. I mean, Bogdanovic, a slight overpay, I think, but still shot 49, 42, and like 88 last year. I mean, this was a really good shooter last year. Now he has weapons around him. And you throw in Rudy Gobert as being that defensive rim protector. You still have Joe Ingles. I think, relatively speaking, their wing depth is still very good.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch them. I'm really intrigued.
Favors, right? I mean, they're going to get somebody back for Favors.
Well, they're going to probably cut Favors because
it's not guaranteed.
Yeah, it's non-guaranteed. It's only a small portion of it. So there's a good chance, unless they find a suitor, they could. But they're probably not going to want any cap coming back. But I'm in love with the spacing that they have. Like, you think of the Jazz in the past couple of years, like, the only time they've had spacing is when they've had, like, either Ricky Rubio off the floor and then Jay Crowder in for, like, Derek Favors. And now they're actually going to be able to put up lineups where they have two good three-point shooters in Joe Ingles and Bogdanovic. And then Mike Conley's a solid three-point shooter. Donovan Mitchell's a solid three-point shooter. The spacing's there. And you probably have one of the best vertical spacers in the league in Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like what they're sort of doing there. But Corey, where's your boy Thad Young landing?
He landed with Chicago.
What's that bread?
Yeah, 51 million. I don't get it. I'm glad he got money. I don't know what Chicago needs a point guard. Why are you going after a forward?
Hey, Kobe White, baby. Come on.
Another questionable move by Chicago.
Organizations win championships.
Yeah.
We all know that Fox Sports Indiana graphic where it's like players with 800 games to average 13.5 points, 5.9 rebounds, 1.4 steals on 49% from the field and over 30% from three. Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, LeBron James. Daddy is young.
it really is. It's a true thing. I know exactly what he's talking about too.
Fox Sports Indiana, my dudes. Maybe they're gonna have to pass it over to their homies in Chicago. I mean, if you're looking at what their front court is right now, it actually isn't that bad. I mean, you've got Larry Markkanen, Thaddeus Young. You got a guy like Wendell Carter Jr. I think Thaddeus Young could be a nice sort of mentor for him. I just don't understand the necessary reasoning and desire from sort of both parties. I'm assuming for these sort of mid-tier guys, and we've sort of seen it, you know, across the range and the signings that have happened, money is more important to them than it is to guys like Kyrie Irving, you know, Kevin Durant, these sort of superstars. Thaddeus Young probably would have gotten a nice-ish deal from some other teams and probably to stay in Indiana, but Chicago just threw the bag at him and he couldn't say no. And, you know, I respect it. I respect it from a lot of these guys getting their dues. And, you know, the timing is perfect for a lot of these guys to be on the to be getting paid and getting some substantial contracts. It's not going to look pretty, despite the fact that the cap has gone up, you know, very minorly. But Chicago will, you know, John Pax, baby. Gar Pax, my bad.
Yeah, it's interesting. And like the long-term deal aspect of it just doesn't really make a ton of sense. Like you have young guys too that are going to develop. It's just like, I would have went a different angle because you already have, like Jack mentioned, you have Otto Porter Jr., you got Lauri Markkanen, and you got Wendell Carter. You know, there's some argument that Otto Porter's best position is sometimes playing at the four. And then Lauri Markkanen obviously is your four of the future, and he's not really an ideal center because of his, you know, size. He doesn't necessarily have the weight. So it's like, okay, Chicago, like I'm not really sure, but that's kind of what I expect from a squad like that. I'm kind of almost, I don't want to say I'm disappointed in Thad because do what you got to do. You got to collect your money, but I would have been happy if he signed with a contender so he had a chance to actually win for once. Not saying he didn't have a chance with the Pacers, but they weren't making a super deep run.
I mean, I almost felt like Thaddeus Young to the Utah Jazz made some sense.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously his former teammate Bogdanovich is going there. I mean, there's plenty of teams that could have used Thad Young because as we mentioned, the three ball is shaky and streaky, but he provides so much at every other part of the game. I mean, a decent playmaker, but the hustle, the rebounding, the leadership. I mean, he was the captain of the Pacers last year. I mean, that's how he was anointed that title. He also was doing a master's program during the season. I mean, Thaddeus Young all around is just a tremendous guy. And, I mean, going to Chicago, I guess he's going to give that locker room some stability, right? I mean, maybe that's also the thought.
Gives him so he gets his money.
Does so, Corey? Question for you then: is the NBA is the Central Division better, worse, about the same than it was 24 hours ago?
I'd say it's better because I think Detroit added a score which they needed. I think the Bucks are still going to be very tough. I think Cleveland still sucks, but I think the Pacers
bring it down the curve, bring it down the average.
Pacers, yeah, but I think the Pacers got better. So I think the Bulls slightly got better because of Thaddeus Young, and they're not done yet. They still have some moves to be made,
and they'll be better because they're young, and there's a lot of young players that are going to get better on the Bulls.
I'd say it's definitely more top heavy between the Pacers and Bucks, with the Bucks being still the favorites. There's definitely like three tiers in the division, but I think it definitely took a step forward.
Ahead of the Southeast Division, would you say?
Yeah. Southeast sucks.
Hey, man, I'm just asking the questions. I don't
know. What's the Southeast? Wizards, Hornets, Miami?
Washington, Atlanta.
And Atlanta, yeah.
No, I don't even know who the best team in that conference is as of right now. Maybe Atlanta.
they could win the division. I mean, like, Charlotte's going to take a major step back because Kemba was a lot of that team. Miami will probably stay around that whole level. Washington's going to probably not be good because John Wall's still going to be out. Atlanta or Orlando are probably going to be competing for that division.
Yeah.
Interesting.
The Damian Lillard signing, re-signing, guys. 4 years, $194 million, Supermax extension. Do we have any thoughts on this one?
And they got Rodney Hood for 2 years, $16
million. That's don't hit that.
Good for Rodney Hood.
It's a solid deal for him. I think the Dame Lillard extension, I'm not 100% sure on this, but I believe that number is more of like a five-year deal because
his
pay rate, would change. So people are posting like, he's getting $15 million a year. Like, if he is, then like, what the hell am I doing? I'm already producing a child and messing with his genetics right now. But good for him. I'm happy for Dame. I can't even say a bad thing about Dame Lillard because I just like what he does. I like his loyalty to the Blazers and just having that mentality. Hey, I'm going to win here, and if I don't, I tried.
I think Portland's one of those places, and being here in Seattle, Portland's sort of the de facto team for the Pacific Northwest, so a lot of Blazer coverage. And I can tell you that the region loves him. They love him in Seattle. They definitely love him in Portland. I was able to go see a game against the Warriors during the playoff run a few months ago, and, you know, the Blazer faithful love Lillard, so having him around is I think a big win for the quote unquote small markets, even though, you know, you guys know how I feel about salary caps and markets and everything. But I wonder, like, you know, there are times when they win a series and you're like, okay, the Blazers are right there, move here, move there. But there are other times they go up against, you know, like the Warriors, who, to be fair, I mean, it's the Warriors, even though they didn't have Kevin Durant in that series. But the fact that Golden State, to me, never worried about playing the Blazers without Kevin Durant. Now, it was a concern for them, obviously, whether they admit it or not, against the Rockets. It would have been a concern for them being the Warriors, had they gone that same scenario with someone like LeBron James, right? To me, I never felt during that series that the Warriors were worried about the Blazers, about going against the Blazers without Kevin Durant, which to me tells me that they don't think the Blazers are on their level. And I tend to agree with that. And I'm sort of given this whole sort of buildup to say, I like the extension, but I might be in the minority and thinking it may be time to explore what you could get for someone like CJ McCollum and breaking up that backcourt. As dynamic as it is, as sort of special as it is, I would listen to the right offer to get more help around Dame Lillard. And you say you just ride with him as the face of the franchise. You trade a very valuable asset at the height of its powers, or value rather, to get more help and get Portland on that next tier of Western Conference teams. Because I just don't see it for them as a franchise right now.
Yeah, I'm an advocate for what Channing Frye put on Twitter. You know, and I think I've been an advocate for this for a while, and Nick and I touched on Kevin Love a bit yesterday, but, you know, we don't need that guy anymore. Kevin Love to Portland, I think, would be nice. We're pretty good, mate. I think that having, you know, these sort of mid-tier-ish sort of guys like Rodney Hood on an $8 million per year contract, Myers Leonard on about $11 million, you know, you can sort of package something there, because we haven't seen necessarily any sort of trades other than the Bojan Bogdanović for some picks yet to happen out in the free agency sort of period. So, but one that really surprised me, guys, and I mean, with the money floating around now, then I guess it's not necessarily really a surprise. Rudy Gay for a 2-year, $32 million extension to stay with San Antonio. What did you guys think of that one?
I didn't see that one. I mean, good for San Antonio. I mean, I think Rudy Gay had a nice role last year off the bench, or when he played a little bit of the stretch of a small ball four. Can still play a little bit. I think if you're San Antonio, if you can't get rid of DeRozan, you got to kind of like be a little bit picky with your players. And I think Gay's a solid choice to have. It's a little bit of an overpay, maybe.
Yeah, I thought he played really well in San Antonio, and the fact is he recovered from his Achilles there. Because he tore his Achilles as well, I believe. And
Sacramento,
So he came back and he was good with San Antonio. And I think they wanted to keep him, and they really had no other options of getting other guys, so they almost needed to bring him back. And just to throw my two cents about Portland, I agree. I would advocate for them to trade for Kevin Love, and they could probably get him without giving up a lot of assets, because that contract's still not pretty.
No, it's not. And I think the overpay, just it's surprising, because – who are they? I get sort of with a lot of these other teams, sort of with the overpays, but who was going to be paying Rudy Gay that money in the first place? It sort of reminds me of the lofty deal that Pau Gasol got when he signed with the San Antonio Spurs a couple of years ago himself. It was just like, it just didn't make a lot of sense. Right. I think that they're sort of showing this love for their players and repaying that sort of faith. So if you land on the San Antonio Spurs, you're going to be rewarded for it. I don't understand it. I don't think Rudy Gay's only going to get worse. You know, he's a guy that suffered an Achilles injury himself too. And he had a really good season, you know, but he is not the player that he was in Memphis and Toronto and the like. He's in the twilight of his career, and he's, you know, you compare it to like Trevor Ariza, I think you should have got something along the lines of that. You know, 2 years, $25 million, or 2 years, you know, $28 million. You know, just that anything above 30, above $15 million a year just doesn't seem to make any sense.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I think it was interesting when you were talking, Jack. I was just thinking the number one league pass team for the Brooklyn area will, of course, be the Nets. Well, even though that didn't make sense because of blackout rules, but you get what I'm saying. Yeah. Most watch would be the Nets. Second most watch, I would have to think, would probably be the Spurs, for no other reason than Nets fans want to see what a rehabbed Achilles looks like.
True. Right?
What it looks like. And I think there will be a huge spike in interest in wherever Boogie goes. That'll probably be tied for second, right? I think Nets fans will want to see, okay, what does that look like? What can a player get back to? And Boogie's probably a more apt example, since he's still in his prime and still working his way back from injury, just getting towards the conditioning phase, I think, of his recovery. So I think it'll be interesting to see sort of the spikes and viewership for those players who've had this similar injury.
The only thing I can think about the Rudy Gay front, you guys kind of hinted at this, is like maybe they're overpaying him because they want to prove like, hey, we'll pay our old players a lot of money even when they're not deserving of that money. Like, I don't know. It doesn't really make sense in terms of like competitive, because I think Rudy Gay probably could have got 10 mil. But 15 mil seems like a lot. But guys, have we heard anything on the Kawhi Leonard front? Like, it seems very quiet on the Kawhi front.
I read somewhere via, I think, Dave McMenamin that they were, he heard from someone within the Lakers organization that he couldn't say, obviously, with tampering rules, though. I don't know why they're tampering rules anymore anyway, that they were meeting with a unicorn. And Chris Porzingis has already re-signed with Dallas. So yeah. I'm assuming that they would mean with Kawhi Leonard. It seems to me it's the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Raptors. Chat about on JBT yesterday that it seems the Raptors' chances are fading. And there's rumors, you know, mulling around that Danny Green has some heavy interest from the Dallas Mavericks. Whether that means, you know, that Danny Green knows something that we don't in relation to Kawhi Leonard, or he's getting an overpay like a lot of these other guys are.
I saw something on Green's front that he said he's not going to sign with a team until Kawhi decides his decision, because if Kawhi goes back to Toronto, he'll go back to Toronto.
Interesting.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're going to know the Kawhi thing until next week. I think if we're waiting for anybody, it will be Kawhi. I know he has all these meetings set up. Not all these meetings, but he has these meetings set up. The Knicks are the only team, I think, that has a phone call meeting. Everyone else will get an in-person meeting, which shows their chances in the Kawhi sweepstakes. Right. And by the way, the Knicks still have $80 million of cap space available currently. Because they have
looking at that.
They have yet to sign anyone. I think Kawhi's the one guy we wait for, because he's got the most, I don't want to say, he's got the most leverage. I mean, most he's healthy. He's coming off an NBA championship run. I think he's just going to weigh all of his options. And he should. I mean, all these big names off the market, he can kind of build up suspense. I mean, that's not kind of his style, but it could be.
He could really screw the Lakers, too. Like, if someone swoops in and signs D'Angelo Russell, and then there's like a lot of these top role players are already snatched up. Then all of a sudden, I mean, they can still fill out the roster with solid guys, and they still have LeBron and AD. But the drop off between adding a Kawhi Leonard type player and a D'Angelo Russell type player to what's out there, it's a pretty big drop off.
And that normally wouldn't even bother me. Pelicans and via Bobby Marks still have $18 million in room after the JJ Redick contract, so they can get a nice center, a la Robin Lopez. You know, they can add some depth in at the power forward position with like a Marcus Morris or one of the Morris brothers. You know, the Pelicans are doing nice things.
They are. They don't know how good they got it in New Orleans. They lucked out with David Griffin.
They did. Should we chat about – we haven't really chatted about the Derrick Rose thing, have we?
No.
I think that was by design. I'm not sure.
He definitely gave that like the 10-minute runtime. They got a little scoring. You know, they got Reggie Jackson off the bench to come in for Reggie Jackson.
Right.
Wait, who's better? Let's all go have a vote. Who's better right now, Reggie Jackson or Derrick Rose? I might vote Derrick Rose.
Yeah, I might vote Derrick Rose too.
Yeah, probably. I think like if Reggie Jackson's actually healthy and like somewhat feeling good, because you can tell when you watch Reggie Jackson, when his knee feels like shit, he just doesn't move well. And then when he feels good, he looks like a completely different player. So when it's like healthy Reggie Jackson's better, but he's not usually healthy, so probably Derrick Rose.
Or maybe Ish Smith.
And yeah, a lot of people were like, well, we're pretty much getting Ish Smith back, except a better scoring version of him. The guy likes to dribble and pull up and not shoot threes and only once in a while.
Hey, he did okay from three last year. Give him a break.
Derrick Rose will help him sell tickets. I think that's important for Detroit. They opened that new arena and like –
Will he
help? He should. The Derrick Rose level –
Here, we'll run a test real quick. Jay, tweet something out about Derrick Rose saying he sucks and see how many people come in your mouth.
Don't do it.
The stands are real for Derrick Rose. I think that – what would you guys say is like the biggest standum on like social media when it comes to NBA players? You know, I would say Derrick Rose, Jeremy Lin are two of the ones that come to mind immediately.
For players that aren't amazing, that aren't all-stars or superstars or anything, they definitely have the biggest stands. Like there's obviously more LeBron stands and Kobe stands and stuff like that. But for guys that aren't all-stars, like you mentioned Derrick Rose, you're going to hear some shit. You mentioned Jeremy Lin, you're going to hear some shit.
Oh, man, I can't think. That's funny because I was just thinking of stars because I know how the LeBron – but I got to tell you, man, the Kobe army is – that's like debating Tupac. It's like a thing.
The cult.
It's a cult. It really is. And I just – I mean
– stats don't matter to them. Stats don't matter to the Kobe stands.
Here's the thing, man. It's like the stats don't matter and – you know, Giannis gets the MVP and Kobe's like, see how I prophesized, man, shut the fuck up. No one cared. Like, stop. Like, no one, like, you know, Mamba mentality. And he's kind of there, like, Yeah, you know, like that meme, yeah. Like, you're welcome.
It's won't just take credit for the Jason Tatum and Kyrie Irving fallout, huh?
No. It's only the success stories, but
yeah. I think Kyrie's contract that he can't communicate with Kobe anymore.
I think Ben Malcolmore is still waiting for his challenge too from Kobe.
Yes.
I feel bad for him.
Well played.
Should we chat a little bit about, because, you know, Woj is obviously just having a little bit of a nap right now, as is Shams. Should we chat about the guys that are still on the board? Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris, D'Lo, Al Horford.
Okay, let's go Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler, since they're kind of, you know, sort of linked, and Philadelphia more broadly. Already lost, like, all their three-point shooting just went out the door, Jack, as you mentioned a few minutes ago.
Tobias Harris just re-signed with the Sixers, 5 years, $180 million.
There we go.
So Jimmy's gone. So let's go Tobias Harris. I like it. I got to say, there was some chatter last 48 hours. Maybe Tobias Harris ends up on the Clippers. And I just always think that's weird to me. I think it's weird if Russell goes back to the Lakers. I think it's weird if Tobias would have gone back to the Clippers. It's an odd sort of moment in time that you were just on a team a year ago and you're back. But he's staying with Philly. I like it for Philadelphia. I mean, they couldn't strike out on both Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris. I hate it. I like that they got to keep one of those guys. I thought Jimmy Butler was the heart and soul of that team, though, that team being Philly. I thought he responded to the city. The city responded to him. I thought he was a Philly guy, sort of in the vintage of a Moses Malone or Bobby Jones from back in the day. Just a hard-nosed guy that just didn't give a shit and played tough. But Tobias Harris is great. Great shooter. You know, athletic, still, I think, still has a ceiling in terms of his ability. You had to max him out, I think, because you risk losing him and Jimmy Butler. So, I mean, Philadelphia did what they had to do, which is retain their stars that were up in free agency.
Yeah, and I think that in that sort of sense, I think I said on the buzz yesterday that it would be a disaster for the Philadelphia 76ers, at least for the optics, if they were to lose Tobias Harris in free agency because of everything that they gave up to acquire him in the first place, the future first rounders, the young talent that they gave up in Landry Shamet and such. So I mean, with Jimmy Butler likely heading to Miami, as the sort of tea leaves are sort of saying, you know, this is a new iteration of the Philadelphia 76ers. And with what they have right now, you know, you've got, Joel Embiid, you've got Ben Simmons, you've got Tobias Harris. You know, they're still one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. I think Jimmy Butler would have been, you know, if you replace Jimmy with Tobias, I think that their ceiling would have been a little bit higher. But, you know, if they can add some sort of depth and at least someone who can shoot beyond 18 feet, then they might win some games next year as well.
I believe they still have $30 million in cap space if they don't play Jimmy Butler. So they're still racking up money. And I think the fact is they lost J.J. Redick. They needed to keep Tobias Harris up for, other than the fact that Jack mentioned they traded for him and traded all those assets. But they needed shooting desperately, and finding a stretch four and him being the best stretch four and probably the best four on the market, you had to retain him. Obviously, I don't think you enjoy paying Tobias Harris $30 million a year for the next 5 years, but you do what you got to do. As soon as you made that trade, you're pretty much guaranteed you were going to do that.
Yeah, I mean, so for Philly, this is their – I don't want to say that Tobias Harris is their safety net, but he's the safety net. You know, if they miss out on Jimmy Butler, they got the one big three to keep with Ben Simmons and Embiid. I already saw a tweet by, I think, Woj saying that Ben Simmons and the Sixers are already in talks for a contract extension. So they're getting that underway as well. J.J. Redick, as we've mentioned, that's a loss. I mean, that's their best three-point shooter. Tobias Harris was their second, and then Embiid was probably their third. Like, that's kind of how this team went. And then, like you mentioned, still got $30 million. There's guys they could find. I mean, Wesley Matthews is still available. Wayne Ellington is still out there.
Wait, who'd you say? Who's still available? Who's the first guy?
Well, I don't know why Wesley Matthews was the first name. I had him 52nd on my top 100 free agent list, which never will be seen.
Wayne Ellington. You must have set the auto draft. I don't know.
Some bitch, yeah. Patrick Beverley is a possible choice, too.
That's a good fit.
But again, they need shooting. And I don't know if Pat Bev is the reliable shooter. I know he can hit the he can stroke it from deep, but it's not the ideal guy, I think, for Ben Simmons.
Yeah, I think the best after like a couple of role guys, that's what you got to do.
I think that they need, you know, they should get in the, if they're not already, get in the Danny Green sweepstakes. So I don't think that, you know, I think these best days are behind him, but you need someone that can shoot the 3-point shot. And right now they don't have anyone.
Yeah, they pretty much have Tobias, and that's about it. Like, they need to figure out
something out there, guys.
KCP. I think Reggie Bullock would be I would take a swing on him. I think he had a rough year with the Lakers, but I think his overall body of work, he's a better player than what we saw there.
He's made with the Knicks.
That's David Aldridge reported that apparently that the Knicks are interested in Julius Randle and Reggie Bullock. You hate to see it.
When you have expectations of Davis, Durant, Irving, Kawhi, and you end up,
I could have sworn I heard when the Knicks traded Porzingis that it was a lock they're going to get Kyrie and KD. I could have sworn that was a thing.
Yeah,
you hate to say it, man. You hate to say it.
Well, you guys are going to be insufferable for a year.
You know, feel bad because Knicks fans are mad annoying, and they've been posting pictures. Like, I still be seeing pictures on my timeline of like Kevin Durant, Kyrie, and Zion all in Knicks uniforms, like. 0% of that happened. Like, chill.
Which, by the way, there's enough draft lottery history. The lottery one's weird, right? Because everyone knows how the damn ball, the ping pong ball bounces. Like, a free agency is one thing. Like, if you got to commit from a player, they're coming. Okay, that's different. But you have no idea how the draft's going to go. Like, why would you? We're going to get Zion. Why would you bank on that? Why? It's literally called a lottery. Like, involved.
And they were upset that they didn't win the lottery. Like, it was supposed to happen. Like, dude, you not understand percentages. Like, that's a real thing. No, like,
it's funny. They really treat it like they were like ripped off or like cheated. Right. Oh, we cheated. We should have had that. You know,
I ordered 10 nuggets. They only gave me 6.
Well, which lets you know that the omelet was frozen in 1985 because they were promised Patrick Ewing. That had to happen. That's what they're trying to say, but they can't say it because it would blow the lid off the NBA if we found out, in fact, that David Stern did make sure Patrick Ewing went to the Knicks way back in 1985. Little conspiracy theory for you there, where to bring down the mood with that very obscure story that I told there. Frozen envelope. Google it. Sorry.
Mike Scott agreed to re-sign with the Sixers. Is that what you're saying, Corey?
Mike Scott, 2 years, 9.8.
Taxpayable level? Cool. Is that what it is?
No, it'd probably be the room exception because they use cap space. But actually, that's probably it. And that's probably what Garrett Temple's deal is really, is truly 9.8 million instead of 10 million.
But then I read somewhere on Twitter that Brian Windhorst said on The Jump that the Nets are going to be signing DeAndre Jordan with that money. But it's been reported Garrett Temple has signed. It hasn't been reported about DeAndre Jordan yet.
They haven't. The DeAndre thing has been announced that he's going to sign, but I think they're still negotiating in terms of the contract. That's why I think that they're going to have to move Joe Harris because you figure he's
at least. Saying it.
I mean, are they either going to have to move Joe Harris or Spencer Dinwiddie, one of the two guys. Like, that's the only two options on the entire roster money wise. So it's like, in DeAndre, you're assuming is going to probably get $6 to $7 million. Like, if I had a guess.
Yeah, and I would say Dinwiddie probably doesn't get traded. Not that I would say that for sure, but like the way he was tweeting on social media, doesn't sound like this is a guy worried about him being moved.
He recruited both guys. Like, he was part of the recruitment pitch for Kyrie and KD. So it would be kind of like ugly for you to be like, hey, yo, come join us. No, bye.
Now, I have a question. Is D'Lo still restricted now? Like, are they still – so they're probably still trying to work a sign and trade.
Like, technically to sign the other guys, he has to be renounced. So he's restricted technically, but none of these signings are official. So
Windhorst did another crazy thing reporting, and it was making weird waves on Twitter, the fact that they're talking about a sign and trade with the Golden State Warriors in relation to Kevin Durant. I cannot see how the hell that is happening. He's restricted right now, but, you know, it seems to me that it's – should we just go through, like, the – like, Bill Simmons has put, like, a list on his Twitter page of the free agents that are left. Should we go through them and just like make some wild predictions live while we're doing this thing? Because Woj and Shams are taking their time.
Yeah, I'll just say one more thing about KD. The only reason it makes a sign and trade sense is then KD could get that extra year.
Well, Ramona Shelburne just tweeted, the Knicks and owner Jim Dolan were not prepared to offer Kevin Durant a full max contract due to concerns over his injury from the Achilles injury. League sources tell me and Woj, ESPN, Knicks... Well, do you call bullshit on the fact that James Dolan is an idiot, or do you call bullshit on the Ramona Shelburne and Woj report?
I'm saying that whoever leaked it to them is just saying that and acting like they weren't going to offer KD the max because they didn't get him.
You weren't that fine anyway.
Exactly. It's like, oh yeah, you know, I don't want to go on a date with you. Like, they were ready to offer him the max. Like, stop lying about it. Like,
Right. Okay. You whiffed. It happens. Like, and like you were saying earlier, Nick, it's like, yeah, you just got confident like 6 months ago. Shit. I mean, that's how the game goes sometimes. Sometimes, and you're not going to get it all in the first try. But I think where they messed up was thinking that they were, right? Like, we're just going to be, to quote a former president of basketball operations, they thought they were going to be back, you know, next this season. It doesn't work that way. Ask the people in Brooklyn. It takes some time. This, I mean, and a little bit of patience. And like you say, the front office, in spite of the owner, they're actually getting there, right? They had a good year, but it takes a little time. It takes a few cycles.
And this is the type of thing that hurts that progress, because all of a sudden everyone's talking about Knicks fans. Hey, James Dolan has no impact on basketball operations, but now if your owner's determining if you're going to offer one of the best players in NBA history a contract, a max contract or not, okay, he's getting involved and he's having a negative impact. So I think that makes it less attractive.
And Jack, I know you want to run down the list, but I would just say one final point on that with Dolan. I would argue, hey, you've signed guys with two great knees, shitty players with two awesome Achilles heels. So why do you want to see medical records now? You've signed Jerome James once upon a time. Why do you care about Kevin Durant's Achilles? Like,
yeah,
is that real life? I mean, Eddie Curry was once upon a time. So
he had to stop playing basketball because of injury. So, like, okay, you're really worried about KD stop.
You know, although I saw him in the big three the other day. Sorry.
We'll, you know, get them checks. I think that we can tell where this leak came from. It came straight from James Dolan, surely.
Oh, yeah.
Because it says the Knicks and owner, Jim Dolan. Like, it's essentially the Knicks part is covering the ass of James Dolan, just not it being exactly him. He just texted Woj. He texted Ramona Shelburne and just been like, nah, we won't get off from that max contract anyway. The Nets got him because we didn't want him. And it's just like, dude, just salt, insert all the salt bait gifts and hook them to my veins.
All right, Jack, what's that list look like?
Bill Simmons, well, obviously, I guess we're going to start with the biggest fish of all, the big kahuna, the big tuna, Kawhi Leonard. Are you guys buying the Lakers guff that is happening?
I am. So, Corey and I talked about this a few weeks ago. You know, I was sort of, hey, run it back, sentimental. And Corey's like, no, you know, as we talked about his dating preferences, now's the perfect time to get out for Kawhi, right? You got the title. He's not beholden to Toronto for anything. It turned out better than they could have ever imagined. And he's a guy in Kawhi Leonard that has showed what he wants to prioritize, his personal happiness, his basketball happiness. I think he wants to be in Southern California. So I think at the end of the day, and even though he had the load management last year, I think he probably looked around and said, you know what? It'd be nice for LeBron James or Anthony Davis, of all people, to carry the load, you know, on a Tuesday in February sometime. So I'm actually starting to drink the Kawhi to L.A. Kool-Aid.
I'm on Kawhi to L.A., but not to the Lakers. I still feel like the Clippers to him make more sense for just the person he is, the fact that he's going there and there's not anyone he's really competing with. He's not like a second or third option behind Davis and LeBron. He'd be the guy. I think there's obviously steam moving. I mean, the fact the Lakers got Anthony Davis, I don't think a lot of us expected, or maybe we did expect it. I don't know. This has just come together, I think, quickly for the Los Angeles Lakers, and it opened up the door for Kawhi and the Southern Cali ties. I think those are true. And as I mentioned before, Toronto's old. I mean, I think you got the best you were going to get this year, but I look at Lowry, Marc Gasol, Serge Ibaka, Danny Green. These guys are just older. Serge Ibaka's older. Yeah, you had Fred VanVleet, obviously, when nuclear in that final two playoff series, finally finding his stroke, and Norman Powell's a nice moment, but it's a team that's a little bit old. And I think if Kawhi's looking around the landscape, the best destinations to win now or to almost win now would be the Lakers with those two stars, or the Clippers, where they have at least a very good infrastructure, a well-respected good coach in Doc Rivers, cap space to bring in more help. Maybe the Jimmy Butler scenario with him and Kawhi can become tuition in the Clippers. I just think the Clippers make more sense for the person that Kawhi has shown us to be.
Yeah, it's a weird scenario, and I think the more players that come off the board, it becomes like almost more likely he could end up with the Lakers, because the sense that if there's a talk about if him going to the Clippers that he wanted to play with another star, if Jimmy Butler is not there, like if they don't sign Jimmy Butler too, who's going to be that other star that plays with Kawhi? And I think like he could go to the Clippers and want to play there, but at the end of the day, Kawhi wants to win basketball games. He talks about all he cares about is basketball, and he's realistic enough to know if he doesn't sign another star with him and going to LA in terms of the Clippers, they're not going to be a championship team. If he goes to LA with the Lakers, they'll be a championship team. If he goes back to Toronto, there's a chance they could be a championship team. So if the Clippers can't nail another star, I think it hurts their chances of landing Kawhi substantially.
I want to ask you guys a question on the Kawhi front. If Kawhi goes to the Lakers, what is the narrative? Like, we bashed the shit out of Durant for leaving his scenario and going to the Warriors where they had won 73 games. What is the scenario for Kawhi winning a title and going to a supercharged team with two of the top five best players in the NBA, then adding himself to possibly having three of the top five NBA players on one team? What is that narrative? Or what is is there a narrative, I guess?
No, there's obviously positive, negative spin narratives, whatever you want to call it. But I think because what Kawhi did in Toronto, endeared himself to Toronto fans and the NBA public so much, he's almost got a free pass to an extent to I just agree. Go, you know what? I'll go to the Lakers. I'll team up with two of the best players that we've seen in recent memory. And I'll win another championship and I'll create another super team. And I'll be the best big three in the history of sport. It's a fair question, but I'm still on the Clippers bandwagon. I think, but there's also, it's hard to read into the tea leaves and read what is the real smoke when it comes to, does Kawhi really want to play with another superstar? In that case, there aren't really any superstars left, so we'd have to join another superstar team with the Los Angeles Lakers. The Clippers, unless they were to get Jimmy Butler, which is losing steam, it seems less and less likely by the hour. So the Clippers possibility, while I was, you know, I've been incredibly confident of it for most of the season, I'm losing some confidence in that. And, you know, in that sort of sense, Coy sort of mentioned the aging roster of Toronto. I think in that sort of sense, it works best if you were to sign 1-1, you know, and then put yourself on the market next season where you are the premier free agent. And then you can dictate things to an even greater degree, because right now, you know, there's KD, there's Kyrie, there's Tobias, there's all these other guys. Not saying that Kawhi is on an even bigger level with them right now. But yeah, you can spin it in a lot of different directions, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see what happens. The only thing that maybe he's scared of the 1+1 is because of the injury he had and he wants to lock up the big money. I don't know. Kawhi's a hard guy to read. You know, KD's a hard guy to read. He already made his decision. Like Corey mentioned earlier, I wouldn't be surprised if Kawhi's the guy that we're waiting on.
Hey, Nick, our boy Damari Carroll has gone to the San Antonio Spurs.
Good signing for him. Good signing for the Spurs. They didn't announce the money, though, right?
No, not the years or the money.
Yeah. Good for him, though. Damari Carroll and Rudy Gay seems like, you know, a bit of a null and void sort of clash. Guys who are aging wings who can hit the three a little bit, play some good defense. As long as they're not paying him 2 years, $32 million, I don't hate it.
And we also just lost Nerlens Noel off the board. He's going back to OKC.
Ooh, they need to retain him, though, because they don't really have much cap option. So, yeah. And then if there's truth to Steven Adams being on the block, then that's at least a center you have on your roster.
Chris Haynes has reported there's a possibility Kevin Durant will engage a sign and trade sort with Golden State and Brooklyn. The only reason this would happen is if there was some benefit that the Nets could get out of it. That was the reason why they left the sign and trade proposition with Kyrie, Kemba, and Terry Rozier up. There was nothing that they could get out of it.
Well, so now it's reported that there's a chance that they could get back into the Kyrie sign and trade proposition with Boston.
I mean, unless the Nets can get something out of it, there's no reason for them to do so. We've already got these guys. Right. So unless you're going to give us, you know, Klay Thompson or something for the bit minimum, I don't understand why the Nets would be involved in it. I mean, there's obviously, Sean Marks is a smart dude and he's going to do plenty of sort of things, but
just to Lakers... on that point real quick, Jack. So if they did a sign and trade, they definitely have to get something out of it, but they could do a straight up sign and trade and not send any players back, or they could get up the possible contracts they need to get rid of, being whoever it may be. I'm not going to mention his name because I don't want you to get upset. They
Thank
could
you.
Use that in a sign and trade, and then Golden State would end up with a huge trade exception, which they could use to actually sign some free agents and help them win this year. Same thing with Boston. The Boston plan was so they could get a major trade exception so they could either bring back Al Horford, or they just want to do it as a sign and trade so they could get a mid-level exception instead of the room exception, which is a jump from like 4.7 to closer to $9 million a year.
Yeah, and I think with the Nerlens Noel news, the Lakers have lost another guy that they could have added to their roster. Like, they have to sign some They have to sign some players, yeah, and the obvious connection sort of there. They need to start signing some players. I think that they're just literally waiting out the Kawhi sweepstakes, and then after that, they're going to sign whoever is left, and whoever's going to be left is going to be like Justin Holiday and Rondae Hollis-Jefferson at this stage.
And I saw a report that JaVale McGee was going to meet with Houston.
I saw that too. Which, and the Lakers, like, you know, hey, they got to sign some players. It's funny because in and of itself, I wouldn't really care. Like, in terms of like, yeah, they got to sign some guys. They may not get the people they want, but they need to make some signings. But they came out with just such a random freaking roster last year. Like, I'm scared to give them that power this time around, right? And maybe that was Magic's doing, right? Because he was sort of pumping this, you know, the whole league like, in a zig, we bag.
Yeah, he's like bragging about the players at Summer League. Like, we got a squad. Like, these right. guys can play. We're going against the grain. They're tough. And then all of a sudden, that roster was trash. And I know a lot of us hated
it. My first NBA fantasy draft. That's what I was doing. I was like, oh, man, Patrick Ewing, he's still good, right? He's like Patrick Ewing on the Wizards. And I was like, yeah, he can. Like, it was all, yeah. But so Magic, when I looked at that team last year, he drafted like I drafted in my first fantasy NBA draft. I was like, oh, God, this isn't good. Hey, Jack, that's your – yeah, I get you. I agree with your point. It's like, you know, if they just had to go back and get some guys like Miami did that first big 3 year back in 2010, 2011, and it's like, yeah, no big deal. But, I mean, they showed up with Lance Stevenson and Rondo and JaVale, like, and Beasley. Like, it was a weird – like, I don't trust them to go out and just go get the groceries, right? I need to send them out with a list. I don't trust them to come back with it, right? So –
The money has been reported by Shams for DeMar Carroll, 2 years, $30 million. So, yeah, not bad.
Good money for him.
Yeah.
Especially at this point in his career. He's a backup forward. Like, he's a fifth starter maybe at best, but like, hey, DeMar, get yourself some money. Man.
Yep. I like it.
Yeah. Anything else before we get out of here? I think we've talked, you know, free agents.
Man, if
I go on the rest of the night.
My last little search around the top guys, see if we miss anything.
Did we say Kristaps? Did we talk about Kristaps signing with the Mavericks?
There's still some skepticism I have around the Reeks signing because being not just a big guy, but a giraffe and recovering from any sort of injury is makes me a little bit, you know, irksome, if that's a word, or a little bit uneasy. But, you know, you got him in the first place. You traded for him in the first place. So you need to show that faith. And if he is to get back to a level which was, you know, he was in the MVP conversation a couple of years ago at early points in the season, then they're going to be a dangerous sight in Dallas. But they need to still add some pieces around him as well. You know, Patrick Beverley's still available. I think that they should be a suitor for him. But I like it, and it's an obvious show of faith. But, you know, I'm still, when it comes to guys who are above 7'2" and recovering from any lower body injury, you know, the history isn't great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's young. I think I have confidence in Porzingis, and I think you made the trade for him and you gave up the assets. You're re-signing him. Like, you never weren't going to re-sign him.
And I think something I really like about this signing and just the Porzingis coming back from injury factor is he did sit out the entire year. He didn't try and come back. He worked out the entire season. He's working out in the off season. And from what I've heard from like just seeing reports on Twitter is like he looks really good. Like he could have played at the end of last season if they were playing for something, but they were just like, why risk it? So I think he's actually going to be coming back in a lot better shape than we probably anticipate.
Right. And healthy, he's a top five power forward. Like, he's a really good player. And like Jack mentioned, his last stint when he was with the Knicks, he was an MVP caliber type player. He's probably one of the most underrated free agents because no one's talking about him. Anytime you don't play an entire season, people kind of forget about you. And like a lot of people this year going into the year like, oh, Kawhi Leonard's this good? Wow, I forgot about him. But it's going to be the same thing with KP next year if he maintains his health. And obviously he's a restricted free agent, so there really wasn't a chance for a team to swoop in and steal him. But that's a low-key, really big move that you won't see an impact for until next season.
So I do have one report I just found that Kevon Looney and the Warriors are meeting right now trying to find a way to re-sign.
I think he's a big, important piece. They need to keep him.
And I have a report from Joel Embiid's Twitter that he has posted the photo, ah, shit, here we go again. What does that mean? Like, I know what the meme means, but is he unhappy?
Maybe Kawhi re-signed with the Raptors and he's scared to see him in the playoffs again.
Ooh, get that bounce. Get those 4 bounces, baby.
Or maybe it's just the fact that like the entire league is changing up again around him. And like Philly's remained pretty much intact. And now Kyrie, once again, different team. And maybe more guys, obviously. On the
I think they have like five people signed to their roster right now. Like Philadelphia has like the rookies, whatever guys they had left on rookie contract, which is three guys, and Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, and then Tobias Harris. The rest
and
of the roster.
And Mike Scott.
Yeah. The rest of the roster, there's like five spots. There's actually like almost 10 spots open on that team.
Oh, man, like, Joel Embiid just needs to go to bed. He's in China right now. He's hanging out with his Sports Illustrated girlfriend, swimsuit girlfriend. Just chill, bro. Life is good.
I don't think we mentioned it, but Jonas Valanciunas re-signing with Memphis?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that did happen today.
Yeah. He played really well for them when he got traded. So
he did. He did.
We kind of knew when he opted out of his contract that he was going to end up re-signing. I think that was the entire goal the whole time, so... Good for Memphis.
Yeah. It's a lot of money, though.
Say it again.
It is a lot of money. It is definitely a lot of money.
How much is it? 3 years, 45?
I think so.
Yeah,
I don't hate that, though.
I think maybe I'm just comparing always to a lesser deal to Yusuf Nurkic, who's on 4 years, $48 million.
Caught in a bad time. Like, Nurkic was a free agent just at the wrong time. Like, he definitely would get more money, I think, now. But I think Valanciunas is probably a similar level to what Nurkic is. And then he just benefited from being on a bigger market. I think
Nurkic is way better than Jonas Valanciunas.
Valanciunas played really, really well for Memphis when he got traded there. And then Nurkic, you're looking at him, he just snapped his leg. Like, we were talking about bigs coming back. That's scary.
Oh, yeah. I've been probably like... Before that, I would say that they were on a different level. Plus, I think Yusuf Nurkic is a little bit better of a defender. I see Jonas Valanciunas as like an upgraded version of Enes Kanter.
I'd say he's better defense than Enes Kanter. He doesn't move as well, but he's a better rim protector. Toronto was just really weird. He had a big role with them, and then all of a sudden it just went to him like not playing and playing 20 minutes a game. Like, he played a playoff series a couple years ago against the Nets, and he put up huge numbers, and he was just really good. And then after that, it's just like he progressively saw less minutes.
Yep. I really hope that when we stop this podcast, Kawhi Leonard doesn't, like, sign with someone, because that happened last year with LeBron James.
Yeah. Kawhi, you need to chill. Go to some meetings. Go do what you got to do. We got to get off this show.
Got free food in Toronto.
He's got, like, free everything. It was, like, free food, free vacations, free airfare. Like, what? But, guys, that wraps it up. Excellent show, everybody. As always, taking the time to listen in, check in, whatever it may be. We appreciate you. Corey, Jay, Jack, always a pleasure. And check us out, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTG Basketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube.
Peace out, knuckleheads.